Today's passage reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 and 5. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous, love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 7,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, including the United States, Canada, Peru, Honduras, Bolivia, El Salvador, Argentina, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Ecuador, China, Japan, Pakistan, Nepal, Indonesia, Philippines, Taiwan, Sri Lanka, Malaysia, India, Mongolia, Israel, Egypt, Kenya, Uganda, Democratic Republic of Congo, Gabon, Angola, Burundi, Rwanda, Nigeria, Tanzania, Botswana, Swaziland, Cote d'Ivoire, South Africa, Burkina Faso, the United Kingdom, Germany, France, Italy, Belgium, Netherlands, Russia, Belarus, Dagestan, Ukraine, Estonia, Kazakhstan, and local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, and GCN viewers. This is the 13th session of the sermon series, Spiritual Love. Until the last session, I talked to you about that love is patient and kind. And so listening to this message, please check whether you have love. Love is patient. So are you patient in all things? What is to be patient? Is it to press down your ill feelings? It is to, of course, in the beginning you try that way, but as you pray and receive strength, it's not just to press down your ill feelings, it is to get rid of ill feelings itself, so there is nothing to be patient of. And kind. And I talked to you that being jealous, boastful, and arrogant is not love. Today I want to share grace through the passage in the first half of 1 Corinthians 13:5, saying, love does not act unbecomingly. The Merriam-Webster's online dictionary refers to unbecoming as not according with the standards appropriate to one's position or condition of life. For example, we have manners and etiquettes. If you ignore these manners, and when you greet somebody, there are manners. When you also shake hands, also between man and woman, who asks for handshake first? And between people in higher and lower position, or older or younger people, how are they supposed to greet? And also, if you greet somebody looking at another place, then it's not good. Also, to say hi without bowing. In some other cases, you have to bow more. So it is not according with the standards appropriate to one's position or condition of life. To our surprise, many people are unaware that they acted unbecomingly even after they acted rudely. There is a greater tendency toward those who are close to them. It is because when they feel comfortable with some people, they tend to act with rudeness or without proper etiquette. They offend others' feelings with unbecoming words and deeds, and sometimes cause damages. Even among those who believe in God and say that they love God, when we see their deeds and hear their words, there are many who are so far away from loving God. But if we have true love, we never act unbecomingly. Suppose you have a very valuable and beautiful jewel. Then will you treat it carelessly? You'll be so cautious and careful in handling it, not to break, harm, or lose it. In the same way, if you really love someone, how preciously would you treat him? especially in case of precious stones, you wrap and you put it in expensive boxes to protect them. After all, being rude is derived from the heart that has no love. Today, as I give you a few concrete examples of acting unbecomingly, hear what is said, and then I want you to closely examine yourselves. If you find something related to your life, I wish you could change it with a joyful heart. I pray in the name of the Lord that many people will feel comfortable and joyful when others see you as if they were meeting the Lord Himself. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there are two situations of acting unbecomingly: rudeness before God and rudeness toward man. First, let us talk about the rudeness before God. God is invisible to our eyes. What do we have to do to see whether or not we have acted rudely before God? We have to examine the kind of attitude we treat the matters in our relationship with God. The matters of God refer to everything, including worship services before God, prayers, praises, the church sanctuary, and holy things in it. For example, drowsing off during the services is one of the main things that is being rude before God. I sometimes see those who are dozing off, and it is very one of the representative things, one of the major things of being rude before God. And if you doze off, the prayers will not even be going up to God. A worship service is offered before God. Therefore, drowsing during the service is same as drowsing before God Himself. It'll be so rude to drowse before the president of a country or a CEO of a company. For example, you have a cabinet meeting with the president. And maybe if there is a meeting with the president of all state governors, and can anybody doze off before the president? Also, executive officers gather together and have a meeting with the CEO, and who can fall asleep? And they will not do that. And how much more before God? We have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Or suppose you are meeting your loved one, and you keep on dozing off in front of that person, then how offended that person would be. Oh, he's ignoring me, looking down on me. He doesn't love me. The other person will think. He or she would have to doubt whether you really love him or her. Other than dozing off, having personal conversations with people next to you during the service, or daydreaming are also being rude. Especially in a place far away from the pulpit or in other sanctuaries than the main sanctuary where you attend the service through a TV screen, you have to be even more cautious. Second sanctuary? Third sanctuary? Fourth sanctuary? Fifth sanctuary? Sixth sanctuary? The one in white clothes on wheelchair? No.
Hallelujah.
First nursery room, second nursery room.
말씀 잘 듣고들 계시죠? 하나님께서는 예배 드리는 곳 어디나 다 보고 계십니다.
God looks at everybody wherever you are. 이런
행함들은 예배
behavior like this tells us that the worshipper lacks reverence and the fervor for God. This is not just being rude before God, but also before the preacher or the leader of the service. For example, there is a believer who is talking with another person next to him, or he is having idle thoughts or dozing off. Then the preacher may wonder if the message is not gracious enough. He may lose the inspiration of the Holy Spirit so that he may not be able to preach with fullness of spirit. All these acts will eventually cause disadvantages to other brothers and sisters, and they are also rude acts. It's the same with leaving the sanctuary in the middle of the service. Of course, there are some volunteers who have to go outside for their duties to help with the worship services. However, except in really special cases, it is proper to move about only after the service has completely finished, especially if you go out from this front side. It is very heartbreaking, actually. I have to worry. Did I say something offending? But I try to interpret in good sense. Maybe he has diarrhea. If he has diarrhea, then he should sit at the back. So when he has the call, he has to go quickly outside. Sometimes there are people who leave the sanctuary during the service. I feel very uneasy. I have to think whether I have done something wrong in my message. Also those who go outside, even before the benediction or the Lord's prayer, the elderly people or those who are on wheelchairs, they try to go quickly, but I explained in the Leviticus lectures that the service has to be offered from the beginning to the end. It has to finish by Lord's prayer or benediction, and then you can stand up and move about. But those who are well-mannered, they will not just immediately stand up right after the Lord's prayer or the benediction. Some people think we can just listen to the message and leave just before the service is over. But this is being very rude. I once explained to you about acceptable and pleasing worship practices in the Leviticus lectures. In Leviticus 1:6, God commands Moses, saying, "He shall then skin the burnt offering and cut it into its pieces." The burnt offering in the Old Testament is applicable to the worship service today. When they gave burnt offerings, they had to cut the animals into pieces, and then they burnt all the parts. This, in today's sense, means that we have to offer a proper and whole worship service from the beginning to the end, according to a certain set of formalities and proceedings. To worship God in this way, first of all, we should not be late to the service. It is not proper to be late even in the case of there being appointments with other people. And how rude it is to be late for an appointment before God. Since I was a new believer, I don't remember any time being late in the service. At least 10 minutes before the service, I sat down and prepared myself. Usually it was 15 to 20 minutes before the service. I've never been late in my, as long as I remember. God is always waiting at the worship place to accept our worship. Therefore, we should not just come immediately before the service begins. It is proper manner to come earlier to pray in repentance and prepare for the service. I am the preacher, but I always want to come to the pulpit early, at least 10 minutes before. But I cannot do it. I try so hard, but I cannot do it because I tell my people around people, because there are so many members are filled in this passageway. After I come out of the office, there are sick people. I have to pray for them. So since a couple of weeks ago, I'm blocked. It is controlled in very strict order because the passageway is strictly controlled. So nowadays I come a little earlier. But still, it's not early enough. I have to come earlier than that. But I still have a little bit of blockage in the way. I want to be on the pulpit, on the altar, at least 10 minutes before. And you have to help me. Without your help, I cannot do it. Also, we have to follow every order of the sequence in the worship service with all our heart, beginning with the silent prayer until we finish with the benediction or the Lord's Prayer. When we sing praises or pray, or even during the time of offering and an announcement, we have to give all our heart. Especially, prayer is the conversation with God. Praising is not just a song, but prayer with melody, with which we give to God the aroma of our heart. So even in the among the pastors, the praise leaders, they have to sing with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Especially the songs themselves have to be inspirational, full of spirit. But even gospel songs, there are gracious gospel songs too. But in most cases, it is not. There are many great gospel songs without any inspiration. They are just they just pass away after singing a month or two. We have to sing the songs that can touch the deep side, the depth of heart. That's why God is telling us to sing more of a hymnal from the hymnal book. Therefore, not only when we offer a praise as a part of the service, but also in any kind of prayer meeting, praise and worship service, or in cell worship services, we have to offer it with all our heart. Some praise leaders were saying, our young people, they like gospel songs. They don't like hymns too much. When I heard it, I asked Immanuel Choir. They greet me once a month. And even now it is all prohibited. But before, I asked them to close their eyes and I asked them, do you like in Friday All Night service or in other services, do you like hymnal book, singing from the hymnal books or the gospel songs? And those who like, then most of them raise their hands for singing from hymns. And few of them raise their hands saying they liked singing just gospel songs. The conductor, you remember. I always check if somebody tells me something. I just don't believe. I first check. For example, we have the Daniel prayer meeting in our church. If we come late without special reason, move around during the prayers without cause, or pray in meaningless repetition in drowsing and idle thoughts, these are being rude before God. Also, it is rude to tap on somebody or shake that person who is praying to stop his prayer. Prayer is conversation to God, and they are talking to God, and you stop him from talking to God. If somebody is talking to one's boss, if you interrupt, it is rude, and they are praying, they are talking to God, and if you stop them from praying, then it is very rude. The wife of Pastor Cha, at the time of opening the church, when she was gas poisoned, she lost her consciousness. All night she breathed in and the gas, and she was unconscious, and some other. Maybe a prayer devotee now. Maybe they carried her on their back. She's the wife of the pastor. And at that time I was praying in my room, and somebody was knocking on the door very urgently. Oh, person is dying or he died. Please come quickly and pray. But I just ignored. And I prayed. I kept on praying. Because I had the time to pray to God. I had a time set for praying to God. So I, because it almost over, so I kept, finished my prayer and then came to pray for her. On a long chair bench, her hands were loose. There was no strength in her. And when I prayed for her, about 1 or 2 minutes, she woke up and she could sit up. Even while you are praying, just because somebody is calling you, if you open your eyes and stop praying right away, it is also rude. Even between men, if somebody interrupts the conversation between two people, or if somebody suddenly stops talking, it is not considered to be good manners. Therefore, when we are talking to God in prayer, we should be more careful. We first have to stop the prayer properly and talk to others. Moreover, using cell phones during the worship service, leaving young children to run and play around during the worship service is acting unbecomingly. Of course, the cell phone should be turned off during the worship service. Also, when you talk to seniors, higher people in higher position, you have to obviously turn them off. It's same with chewing gum or eating food during the worship service. It is very rude according to our culture. Of course, we don't do it, but in other countries, some elderly people, I saw some elderly people chewing gum also, chewing gum when they are talking to their seniors. And even in a TV program, they chew gum. With our culture, we cannot understand it. But it's the same even with that country. It is something not proper. When we talk to God, if we chew gum, suppose we are eating something when we are talking to God, can you imagine such a situation? And also in front of so many TV viewers. The appearance that you have for the worship service is also important. Normally, it is not proper to come to church wearing common street or house clothes or clothing intended for the workplace. If you are to meet the president of the country, what kind of clothing would you wear? Will you just put on some kind of working clothes for working? You will probably put on the best clothes you have in a very neat manner. Probably most of you will put on the suit. It's because the attire is a way to express our reverence and respect to another person. Children of God who truly believe in God know how precious God is. So when they come to worship Him, they come in the cleanest attire they have. Before, maybe in 85 or 86, God gave me a word. He told me that a very big person would come to the church as a member. And I was searching, who is the big fish, big sheep, who is the big man? I was searching. Because at that time it was only hundreds of people, I could find it. But I couldn't find. Of course, but then I had somebody where my mind was flowing to. It was not very long, so the third from that end, but his clothes was not a clothes of the kind of position, to be in the kind of position. There was nobody but him, but his attire was not. After the service, we greeted, and he was the man who was writing the he's writing the messages for the president. And ordinary, usually he was wearing the kind of attire, but later he changed. Of course, there can be exceptions. For the Wednesday service or for the Friday all-night service, many people come directly from their workplaces. As they hurry up to come on time, they may come in their work clothes. In this kind of case, God will not say they are rude, but He will rather rejoice. It's because He receives the aroma of heart as they try to come on time to the worship service, even when they are busy with their work. God looks at the inner heart of each person. Therefore, I urge you that you will not judge other people just by looking at their appearances. Let me tell you one more thing about worship services. It is acting unbecomingly before God to smoke and drink before coming to worship service. Even unbelievers think that it is proper courtesy not to smoke or drink when they attend the church. Since I was healed, right after I was healed, I was still alcoholic and I was still smoking, but at least on Sunday I restrained myself. I had to drink in the morning and evening, but I restrained myself until the evening service was over. And after evening service was over, I came back home and drank. Because I didn't know anything, I was a very new believer, but in my conscience, on Sunday, I couldn't drink. I couldn't smoke. And I waited until evening service was over. And as children of God, what should we do? If you have been attending church for a considerable period of time, you should definitely cast away these old forms of life with faith. Even if you are a new believer, it is proper manner before God to try your best to cast away these old habits. Brothers and sisters, God wants to have a fellowship of love with His children through worship and prayers. Also, worship and prayer is our duty and obligation that we have to give to God as His children. If we offer our worship and prayer in spirit and in truth, God gives us back blessings and rewards. He answers to our prayers more quickly. It's because He receives the aroma of your heart with delight. Some people come with the sickness. Then sometimes I ask the person or the family members, do you keep the Sabbath holy? You don't keep the Sabbath holy, do you? Then they say, the family members, they answer, oh, he keeps properly. Then it's the end of story. There's no solution to the problem. The Holy Spirit in me is saying, but that person is denying it. If they know how to keep the Sabbath holy, they cannot answer so quickly. Just by sitting in the church on Sunday, it is not worship. You have to worship in spirit and in truth, without idle thoughts, without dozing off, without daydreaming. You have to listen to the Word of God carefully. That is worship service. They just sit and go back. They just think about earning money, thinking about baseball game, think about mountain climbing, golfing, fishing. And it's not worship service. They didn't worship in spirit and in truth. It's not acceptable to God. But their family members, they say, oh, he keeps the Sabbath holy. Then I cannot say anything more. Then they sometimes later, write to me with repentance. They sometimes they miss the Sunday. It happened that we lied. But if we accumulate unbecoming acts for a year, 2 years, and so on, we'll make a wall of sin against God deeply. Even between a husband and a wife, or between parents and children, if a relationship without love continues, there will be many problems. It's the same with God. If we have a wall against God, we cannot be protected from diseases or accidents, and we may face various problems. We may not receive the answer to our prayers, even if we pray for a long time. But if we have proper attitudes in worship and prayer, we can solve many kinds of problems. I hope all of you will understand this fact very well. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will offer to God who is spirit all your worship, prayer, and praises in spirit and in truth. I think there are some strange sects in Korea. Some of them say they are God on the pulpit. He says he is God, and some people say there is God the Mother. The Bible says God is spirit. And can God have a physical body and preach on the pulpit? They have some very weird theory, but some people are deceived.
Uh,
And the father of that person says, it is the will of God and he will resurrect. It is the will of God to die of sickness and he would resurrect. And still people are deceived. Why would God be sick? God is the healer, and would God be sick and die? Still, there are believers. It's the church of God, and if you know the truth, how ridiculous. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to act unbecomingly in the sanctuary of God is also showing rudeness before God. For example, we must not get angry and quarrel or talk about worldly entertainments or businesses in the sanctuary. It's the same with carelessly handling the holy things of God in the church or to damage, break, or waste them. So, as I'm talking about this, let me tell you, members, when you give offerings, if you give as a construction offering, there is a construction offering envelope. There are separate envelopes for thanks offering and construction offerings. You have to give to God in the worship service. But sometimes, without putting them in those separate envelopes, but in a white envelope you give to me, you say tithes or thanks offering, or and you say you sow, you give to the senior pastor. Also, there are some sick people who some of them have their offering in the thanks offering envelope for God, but even if you give to me, if it is in envelope for God, then I separate them and give to God. You have to give these thanks, tithes, and construction offerings to God. You have to give to God. Please don't bring them to me, because there are more than 1,000 people shaking hands with me. They are receiving prayers, and if you, and they may mistake it, because it's not the offering for God, but in a white envelope, you have prayer title, prayer points, prayer requests, and you give in that way, so the people may be confused. So if you're giving that kind of offering to God, you have to give to God in the service. You shouldn't give them to me. It's, except in the case where you have a very great amount of tithes or something to receive prayer in my office, then also after receiving prayer, it has to be in an envelope for God. So maybe some newcomers, they give to God, but they just gave to God in a white, just blank envelope. But then if you give to me the offerings that are supposed to be given to God, so I, in the church, it'll be, if you give to me, then it may be a little, a week or 2 weeks later that it'll be printed in the weekly bulletin, because I have to sort it out and give to God later. So please remember and understand these things. So when you give to God, you have to put it in the envelopes for God, and you give in the worship service. Please, you shouldn't give the offerings to God and come and give them to me. So it's the same with carelessly handling the holy things of God in the church or to damage, break, or waste them. The first part of Psalm 11:4 says, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. The temple, the church, is where God dwells. In the Old Testament times, not just anybody could go into the holy place. Only the priests were able to enter. Only once a year, and only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies inside the holy place. Because it was a holy and set apart place, if a man with sin went in there, he was killed. But today, by the grace of our Lord, anybody can enter into the sanctuary and worship Him. It's because Jesus redeemed us from our sins with His blood, as said in Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, so those who believe in Jesus Christ can enter the holy place. Even Jesus, who gave us this kind of love, did not allow disgracing the holy temple. When He saw the people buying and selling in the temple, He rebuked them sternly and drove them away, saying in Matthew 21:13, and He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den. He made a whip out of cord and He overturned the tables. He was enraged. Our meek and holy Jesus. It is because they were disgracing the temple of God. Jesus didn't forgive them. My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den. Because the temple is not in the sanctuary. At that time, only the priests could go into the temple, holy place, or the holy of holies, the most holy place. And when they were attending some kind of worship, they were doing it in the synagogues. And only in the temple yard. Even the temple yard belongs to the temple. If you say presidential palace, is it only the building itself? Or within the fence, everything belongs to presidential palace, 청와대. And if you say, you don't say only the building itself is your house. Within the fence, everything is your house. And in the temple yard, what did God say about buying and selling in the temple yard? You are making it a robber's den. It was not in the temple building, but only at the temple yard they were selling things to offer to God. But Jesus did not allow even this kind of act. Here we can realize that the sanctuary does not only mean the place where we worship. It is every space within the boundaries that consists of the church, including the yard and all other facilities. In case of a temple in Jerusalem, it could hold 1 million people. And they were selling things. They were selling things to offer to God. Things like sheep and doves and cows to offer to God. And God is saying, our Lord was saying, they were making it a robber's den. Then, if you know this, you should understand there shouldn't be any selling and buying of things, and there shouldn't be any defilement of the temple of God. In 98, among those who rebelled, they were the ones who defiled the church. They did so many evil things. I know some of them in the old sanctuary. There were rooms, and beside senior pastor's office was a room, and they did things they should have never done. And those people were the leaders. Because they defiled the church of God, God had to turn his face away, and they were captured by Satan and the devil, and they did such great evil. Because God was so angry, and because of them, the whole church had to suffer, and they themselves became those leaders in rebel against God. And they were driven away, and still, if you do things that you should never do in the church, it cannot be accepted. It is too defiled to disgrace God so much. Therefore, wherever you are in the church, I hope you will be careful about even one little word and action. You have to make it holy and perfect. I also urge you to handle the holy things in the church with the same attitude. Talking about buying and selling dining hall or snack bar or bookstore, isn't it said buying and selling things? They don't consider, God doesn't consider it as buying and selling things. Buying and selling sheep and doves, it is to make money. They were making profit out of it. But the things here, what we do, selling Christian books, is not to make profit. If there is any profit, we spend it for God's kingdom, for charitable works in the church, or for the students' scholarships in the church. It is spent for the church of God. Also, what we sell the sermon tapes and the message of God and the sermon books and the praise hymnal books and Bibles and even one there isn't even when they sell diaries and other notes, they are all related with they all have the word of God, and it's all Christian things, and the profits made from the bookstores are spent for good works, for charitable works. It's not for any personal gain. Also, in snack bar, the dining hall is for your dinner, for your children, yourselves. If they ask for any drink or any snack or any coffee, or on a hot summer days, maybe you want some ice creams, and the children, they cry out, and they cry, keep on crying and crying, and you eventually have to go outside the church and buy from outside the shops. Then it'll be a violation. So it is to help you. So it is different. The concept of buying and selling is different. Selling here in the temple at the time of Jesus, it was to make profit for themselves. But here, what we, it is, some things are sold for your convenience, and the profit from there is given for God's kingdom only. Psalm 84, verse 10 says, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." It was the confession of David, the man of God. "I'd rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness, only if he could be used by for God's kingdom." We can see in this confession the earnest love of King David and his truthful heart to live in the temple of God, even if he has to be a merely doorkeeper. Likewise, the thicker the love for God we have, the more we long for the temple of God, and therefore we will not act unbecomingly in the church. Therefore, I hope you will handle preciously anything that is related with God with all your best, just as you are acting for God Himself. Before, they had internet in each desk of the churches, and some people watched something they shouldn't have watched at night. So we disconnected all the internet, because they were watching something like that in holy church of God. So God was, that is why the church had always financial difficulties. And who will suffer? The pastors and Levites, because the salaries wouldn't be paid proper on time. Then they couldn't even complain, because many people were doing it. Now, of course, I believe there is none, but because of some people, the whole church was suffering, and the whole group of pastors and Levites couldn't receive their salary on time, because they were defiling the church of God if it went over, if there is any physical contact between man and woman. It is something more serious. Therefore, I hope you will handle preciously anything that is related with God with all your heart, just as you are acting to God Himself. By doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord that your loving relationship with God will become deeper and deeper, dear brothers and sisters. Next, let us consider the cases of being rude to other people. 1 John 4:20 says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. If you hate your brother and say, I love God, then you are a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. If you don't love your brother who is seen, can you say you love God who is not seen? Long before, I saw some people. They are brothers, born of same parents. They are believers. They also pray. They quarrel with each other. And it was rather a fight. It was so fierce. And the elder one, they blame each other. It's because of you. You are the one who's wrong. Both of them were blaming each other. Nobody would surrender. None of them. And knowing that, I once asked, how come you are brothers born of same parents, and how can you fight? You should love each other. You're brothers. Then the elder one says, the younger one is wrong. They didn't say, oh yes, it is my fault. I will change myself. They were still saying, it is my younger brother. No, it is my elder brother who is acting, giving me hard time. He's commanding all the time. And he's so scary. And the elder one says, the younger one is rather scary. And they don't stop. It was long ago. Even among you, if you have the kind of relationship, please look back on yourself. You cannot say you love God, but do you really believe in God at least? If you believe in God a little bit, you have to love, you cannot but love God. But then if you don't love your brother, and how can you say you love God or you believe God? That's why God says you are a liar. If you really love God, you can. God says, if you love your enemies, then how can we hate our own brothers? Ed said, only when we do not act unbecomingly toward brothers and sisters can God also believe our confession, saying we love Him. If we are rude to other people who are sin, how can we have proper attitude to invisible God in all matters? If we love God, we should never be rude to our brothers and sisters. Then, what kinds of things are being rude to brothers and sisters? Usually, if we seek our own benefit without thinking of the other's positions, there will be many acts of rudeness committed. We may cause discomfort in others' hearts, or cause financial damage or stress to the time constraints of others. For example, when we talk on the phone, we also have etiquette to keep. If we call at late night or talk on the phone for a long time with a person who is very busy, how much damage are we causing? To be late to the appointments or suddenly visiting somebody's house are examples of discourteousness as well. When we meet with other friends, our friends and neighbors, and have fellowship with them, we also have etiquette and manners to follow. As I told you before, in case of Pastor Heejin Lee and Heejin Lee, they are receiving revelation since 1998. It's been 10 years, but they were never late. I am so thankful. At the time when I go to Gethsemane prayer house, they have to come there. 1 hour before, they come and they wait in the car down the hill. So when I receive such report, if they come early, they should come in, then why are they waiting outside? Because they were so too early. So they thought it was maybe a little not good to be too early. So why would they come so early? Because it takes more than an hour by a car. Not to be late, they come so early and they just wait there. Whether maybe they read the Bible in the car or something. When they come to my residence to receive the word, if it is 11 o'clock, I open my door at about 10 after 10. Because they come early. Maybe they come, yeah, I open the door at 10 after 10, maybe they come in at 10:20 or 10:30. If I forget to leave it open, then they just wait outside until 11, so it's very rare, but it's very rare case that I forget to open the door, because I know that they come early. I open the door early also. So for 10 years, they have never been late. I've never seen them doing any kind of rude or unbecoming act. Is there anybody who thinks we are so close and isn't it kind of too formal to think about all those things between us? You may have a really good relationship to understand all things about the other person, but it is still very difficult to understand the other's heart 100%. Therefore, we should check whether it is only our own opinion to think like above, And actually think from the other's point of view. Especially we should be careful not to act discourteously toward another person just because we are always with the person and we are very close. Especially between husband and wife. You should be courteous to each other. Oh, my husband, my wife loves me so much. We are very close. So if you show rudeness many times, maybe you can understand each other in the beginning. But if it keeps going on, then there may be cracks in the relationship later on. You shouldn't have those things. The husband respects the wife, and the wife respects the husband, and they will always be happy. If we show respect only in official occasions, it is only outward action. But since we are so close to some people, we do not tend to care for them enough. And so we may just speak careless words or act carelessly, hurting the feelings or offending those people. We act rudely to family members or very close friends this way. And finally, the relationship becomes strained and can become very bad. We are so close, so we can do this. But how long will that close relationship last? Also, some elderly people treat people of younger ages or those in lower positions unbecomingly. They speak language without respect, or they have commanding attitudes, making others feel uncomfortable. Sometimes even small group leader, they command the small group members, bring, get me some coffee, bring me something. But the members, they bring the coffee for the leader, but they don't take it as uncomfortable. But if the leader asks, that person has the vessel to go into spirit, but because of those things, she cannot go into spirit. To go into spirit, in everything you have to change to make it whole. So you can go into spirit. You can make yourself perfect. Unless you change even these little things. Especially pastors and leaders should not speak language without respect or have commanding attitudes only because they are in leadership positions. In case of Pastor Sujin Lee, Myung Lee, and Migyung Lee, I have never checked how they treat their members, but I believe they will not speak language without respect. I believe they will not act. They will not act with improper etiquette or manners, but if they did, they should fast and repent. Sometimes they have to command some things according to the situation. Of course, in case of a secretary of maybe, for example, in case of a secretary of a CEO, you cannot ask the secretary all the time their opinions. The CEO can command the secretary to bring the documents or bring some keys or something. You have to understand in different situations because there shouldn't be any misunderstanding. But if you treat even people of lower position with the respect, then it's better. You can go into spirit more quickly. Same between husband and wife, and same between parents and children. If you have goodness, you will act with respect. Leviticus 19:32 says, "You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord." Today, in subway or in buses, the elderly people stand up and the students are sitting. Then are you just watching them or do you yield your seats? In buses or subways, I've never been on any of them for such a long time. Even in other countries, we have a bus, small bus coming in the airport. And if I have, if I see somebody who looks older than me, I stand up and I don't even want to sit down, but the people tell me to sit, so I just sit. But if I see anybody who looks older, I don't even sit down. When I was attending school in summer vacation, winter vacation, it was a slow train. So from Seoul to Jangsong, it took 12 hours. And it was packed. And it was not easy to stand in the passage because there were also vendors passing by. And as they were passing by, there was no space. And they step on me and step on my feet, even if I try. But also to go to the toilet, it wasn't easy. But at that time it was, if I went to Seoul station, there were seats. But after Yongsan and Siheung and about Anyang, because it was full, I had to yield the seat to the elderly people. Then I would stand. I never ignored anybody. Even now I wouldn't do that. But today it is difficult to find people who wholeheartedly serve their parents, teachers, and elderly people whom we should obviously serve. Some may say the situations have changed, but the will of God is to do our whole duty even among men. Furthermore, God's children should keep the law and order of this world, not to act unbecomingly. Even after a long time, the truth never changes. We have to keep the manners and etiquette. It doesn't change. For example, if we cause commotion in public places, speed on the street, or violate the traffic laws, it is to act unbecomingly towards many people. Last week, a man in a high position, maybe he was drunk, came on board airplane and he was kicked out of the airplane and the airplane was delayed by half an hour or something. And such a thing was on the news. We are living as God's children in this world. As Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Your good works will glorify God. People will see, oh, he is a good believer. He believes in God. Their works are good. They are good and gentle. Then it is glory to God. I pray in the name of the Lord that your life will be able to touch many other people. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, most people spend most of their time with other people, meeting and talking to them, eating with them, and working with them. To that extent, There are many kinds of cultural etiquette in our everyday lives, such as in greetings, conversations, and in dining. But everyone has a different degree of education, and the cultures are different in different countries and among different races. Then what should be the standard in our manners? Sometimes we have etiquette education for pastors and full-time Levite workers. From the speaker. It is the law of love that is in your heart. The law of love refers to the law of God, who is love itself. Namely, to the extent that you imprint the word of God in your heart and practice it, we will have the attitudes of the Lord and not act unbecomingly. Another meaning in the law of love is caring. Being rude is caused, after all, by not caring for others, which is lack of love for others. Therefore, if we really love others, we'll always care for them so that we'll not act unbecomingly towards them. If you accomplish perfect love in your heart, you will fully follow this law of love. Therefore, I hope you will quickly cultivate this perfect love in your heart so that you will treat everybody like we would do in the heavenly kingdom, as we would treat the Lord Himself. By doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will be honored to the highest degree by God, by the angels in the heavenly kingdom, and by all people. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for your grace and love through the message. Let us go into spirit through this word. We have rudeness between men, and we have rudeness before you, Father. There shouldn't be any rudeness before you, Father. Father, we thank you. Pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As you listen to the message, you have the heart to obey anything. But when I ask you something, do you obey? Do you say amen? Do you act? As you listen to the message, you say amen, and you have the heart to obey. But in reality, if there is anything, do you obey? Also, people, many of you pray so fervently, but many of you don't really obey. But in the morning, I had something pleasing, something glad. One member in Branch Church, that I went to Jeonju Mamin Church for one day crusade. In that meeting, he did something, trusting me that, and he received great blessing. Within about 20 days, he received great blessings, and he thanked me in the morning. I cannot tell you the details, but because he obeyed, he trusted me and obeyed, he received a great blessing and gave glory to God. I pray for the sick. Please lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities and receive the prayer for the desires of your heart. Hallelujah, Lord, lay your hands on them. Show your work transcending time and space. Lay your hands on all those children who are attending the service through satellite in branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all those children of God who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, and all GCN viewers and all overseas missionaries, pastors, and members. Lay your hands on them. Father, thank you. From head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and most high power of creation. Cleanse them. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit and most high power of creation. Be cleansed. Light come. Also, lay your hand on your daughter, Young Eun Cha, the last stage of cervical uterus cancer. Light come, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. It was spread to another part. Father, heal her and let her also have the bowel movement. Let her be able to eat. Let her gain memory back. Light come. Father, show your work. Work on her. Father, thank you. From head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves, tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and most high power of creation. All skin diseases be cleansed. All pneumonia, all tuberculosis go away, all cold, flu go away, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit, be cleansed, light come. Father, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit, light come. Father, work on them. Burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit, cleanse them, give them spiritual and physical health. Protect them throughout this week, give them prosperity. Father, thank you. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.